You're listening to a podcast from the PTB Media Network.
Women's football is on the menu today on Mr. Benfica. Chandra Davidson gives Sporting a case of the X and comes up big in two matches this week, winning the Portuguese League Cup final, adding another trophy to the museum, the Cosmo de Mio at the Luge, and getting three valuable points on the road in horrible conditions this past weekend in the Liga BPI, setting up this upcoming weekend's decision day. Benfica will host Racing Power FC. It's simple, win, and Benfica are champions. If not, it's going to get very, very complicated. We're going to talk about that, plus a whole lot more, because we got about 5 weeks worth of women's football to talk about here on Mr. Benfica today. This is episode 186, Case of the X, and it starts right now. Vamos!
Why did you choose Benfica, Victor Roger?
Yeah, I think it's a really great club, one of the best clubs in the world, and so I think I love football, and if you love football, you love Benfica. And
fans are just, they're awesome. So Mr. Benfica is saying that he's supposed to be working, but instead he's watching Benfica. Well, I won't tell your boss, I don't know who he is. And,
it's an amazing feeling. This is just what we wanted going into an international break. We wanted to bring his casa, and the support we had here today was top. There's no comparison to this atmosphere.
Oh, it's a great chance here for Rafa Silva, for Benfica, who lead by 2-1. Rafa Silva was onto it like a shot, and he gobbled up the chance, and Benfica have turned the tie round.
What's up, Benfica Nation? Welcome to another episode of Mr. Benfica here on the PTB Media Network. I am your host, as always, the Mr. Mike Agostinho, coming to you from the Upper East Coast of the United States of America, out to the entire world, wherever there are Benfiquistas listening, wherever there are Benfiquistas speaking and listening in English. Welcome to another episode. This is 186. This is Case of the X. Why is it Case of the X, you might add? Well, first of all, this is Chandra Davidson's favorite podcast, no doubt. And this episode is going to be Chandra Davidson's favorite episode because it is all about her slaughtering her ex last week in the Taça da Liga Feminina final, the League Cup, the Women's League Cup final. Benfica narrowly edging Sporting 1-0 thanks to the ex-Leoa, Chandra Davidson, the Canadian, finding the back of the net, coming off the bench to win the match. And she would be the hero again at the weekend in the Liga BPI as well. We'll talk about that too. And we're going to go back and recap Benfica's, we're going to recap their form and their play going all the way back to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. All right, we're going to talk about both of those legs against Lyon, who are at this moment, you know, preparing for the Women's Champions League final against Barcelona later this month. So there is a lot to talk about here, but we're going to talk a lot about this League Cup final. We're going to talk about this past weekend's match at Valadares Gaia. We're going to get ready for this coming weekend's do-or-die decision day match. We got two matches left, one in the league, one in the cup. They're both against Racing Power FC. I said at the beginning of the season to watch out for this team. They started very slow. They almost couldn't field a team in their first match in their League Cup qualifier, I guess you could call it, early round match. But they did get it together, And they are going to finish third in this league this year. And now they have a chance to deprive Benfica of the title and to deprive us of the Portuguese Cup. They're going to be playing in their first ever cup final as well, this Racing Power FC. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. And tie in some loose ends, I guess. But we're going to get going and we're going to talk about the Portuguese League Cup Final, the Women's League Cup Final. We're going to start there. Benfica versus Sporting at the Restelo. I believe there was 9,000 plus in attendance for this one. And actually, I'm going to pull up the Ficha de Jogo right now, the game report. And the attendance, is it listed here? This time, it is not listed by PlaymakerStats.com, where I get most of the women's info. Let's see if it's on SofaScore. I don't think SofaScore lists the attendance either, but I will take a quick look at that for you. I believe it was 9,000 and change was what was announced on TV for that match. And it was mostly Benfica fans. If you went to social media and you looked at the complaints from Sporting fans, how the camera only showed Benfica fans, you would think that they had a lot of fans there. You would think that the other side of the stadium was completely full as well. It was not. There were plenty of shots from people at the stadium showing a fairly empty side for Sporting, fairly empty end of the stadium. This match being played, of course, on the holiday on May the 1st. It was an early kickoff, a 5:45 p.m. local time kickoff at the Restelo. And the referee here was Sara Alves. And it was a well-fought match. I have to start out by giving some credit here to our rivals. Despite financial difficulties that they have seen over the past couple of years, they have found a way to still be competitive with us. In fact, they're getting better each time they play us. Each season, they're getting stronger now. Ever since they had that huge divestment in the majority of their Portuguese internationals went out, they left, the majority of them left, and they're playing abroad now. And we've seen players leave, including the hero of this match, by the way, for us, was once obviously on their roster and one of the key players on their roster. But we've seen that divestment, and they have rebuilt, and I have to give them credit for that rebuild right now. And their manager, Mariana Cabral, who is a very funny character. She's someone who I think is a good coach. I think obviously she's done a good job, but then she's got this bit of just loose cannon in her, and it's like it's a prerequisite against Benfica. She has to get booked, and it was only a matter of time until she got booked in this one as well. I don't know what she's trying to prove there. Doesn't need to stoop to that. Doesn't need to pander to anybody that thinks that that's how you lead a team, because she's done a fantastic job with these Leoas. There's no question about it. Here they are pushing us to the extreme. They've beaten us twice in the league this year. I'm going to talk a little bit about the league game before this podcast wraps. But yeah, they have given us an absolute hard time this season. We have played them, I believe we played them six times this season. This was incredible. We played them in the Super Cup, twice in the league, twice in the Portuguese Cup, and now in this Portuguese League Cup final. Okay, so without further ado, let's go to the lineups then for this final. This was played last Wednesday, like I said, on May the 1st. We'll start with the Leoas, not the visitors, but our opponents. Hannah Siebert, the American, is the goalkeeper, and she seems to always play very, very well against Benfica. Back three, the two teams mirror each other pretty much on the pitch in terms of system and in terms of style of play and whatnot. At least they tried to. Back three, Rita Fontemanha is the deeper lying center back. Andrea Norheim to her left and Ana Borges to her right. And then the wingbacks, Fatima Dutra down the left, Joana Martins down the right, double pivot in midfield of longtime Portuguese international. Don't think she plays for the national team all that much anymore, but she's one of the all-time caps leaders for Portugal. It is Claudia Neto, and she partners with the Spaniard Brenda Perez. Now, down the attack on the right, it is Jacinta Gala. The left is the Canadian Olivia Smith, and the American striker, who is from about 45 minutes from where I'm sitting right now, Brittany Rafinho, the former Brown University All-American, former, she went to Thayer Academy in, I believe that's in Brookline, Massachusetts. But she grew up not far from here in, I believe she grew up in Randolph, Massachusetts. Not far at all from where I am at this time. And she joined Sparting midway through the season after completing her collegiate career earlier this fall at Brown University. Like I said, was an All-American, All-Ivy League, you name it. She's a player that's given us a lot of trouble. Very tall, strong striker, Brittany Rafinho. Now, for Benfica and for Philippa Patel, of course, Lena Powells is in goal, and what a signing she has been this season. I think a big difference of what this team has accomplished this season versus the past two. And taking that step, especially in Europe, and we'll talk about that. I think Lena Powells is a huge part of that step. The back three, just like Sporting, a back three for Benfica, Carol Costa is the deeper line center back. Cristy Ucebe, who's basically a full-out center back at this point, completely converted and doing very well back there, is the right center back. The left center back is Anasaisa. The wing backs for this one, on the right is Marie Alidou, and on the left is Lucia Alves, the double pivot, of course, very formidable double pivot, very strong double pivot, is Andrea Faria and Anna Gaspar, the German player. The two of them have been just lights out this season. Anna Gaspar, both of them, actually, I should say, have taken tremendous leaps and tremendous growth in their play this season. And especially Andrea Faria, what a player we have here, and what a growth from when she first broke on the scene all the way back in the first season of this team when she was still a U18 and she was bouncing back and forth between the two team, between the youth team and the first team. Today she's an undisputed starter. I mean, she's really made us forget, but she's really lowered the status of, you know, midfielders like Andrea Norton, who last season were, you know, very, very important. And at the World Cup, Andrea Norton was a huge part of Portugal's success. But since she returned from the World Cup, that hasn't been the case. And Andrea Faria has not let anyone take her spot. Same for Ana Gaspar. She replaced the injured Paulita at the end of last season and just will not give that spot up. Continues to play lights out in the middle of the park for us. And then the attacking three in this one, the striker is Nicole Raisla in the center with Jessica Silva to her right. And, of course, the world-class Kika Nazaré to her left. Those are the 22 players that took to the pitch in this one. And this was a match that was not by any means easy. Okay, this was a match that really Benfica were completely put on their heels. Okay, they were completely put on their heels. Absolutely could have gone either way. Again, big, big performance from Lena Powells, keeping Sporting, you know, at nil on the score sheet. And then, you know, the substitution late in the match that brings on the hero. But we do have an injury early in the match, 8th minute. We see a substitute, Jacinta Gala, subbed off, injured in the 8th minute, like we said. And on comes the Portuguese international, Diana Silva. She enters in the 8th minute. In the first half, I think Sporting were kind of the better team. And to be honest, as I watch this, now watch all these games, there is no doubt an air of fatigue in the legs of these Benfica players. They have way more kilometers on those legs than anybody they're playing against this season. I read a stat that they actually have the most games played, the most matches played in all of Europe this season. They've played 12 more than Sporting, for example. Those, of course, were the 12 UEFA Women's Champions League matches that Benfica played this season. And they'll even go one more ahead of Sporting in matches played when they conclude the season, when Benfica play at the Jamor in the Portuguese Cup final. That will put Benfica at 13 more matches than Sporting, because, of course, Sporting won't be at the final. And that is just, I guess, the price of success for this Benfica team. 12 Champions League matches. Remember that it took 6 matches to qualify. Sorry, it took 4 matches to qualify for the group stage, okay? And it's very rare a team that that goes through the first prelim rounds like Benfica has to, finds their way all the way to the knockout stages. Benfica did that this year. They played those four matches, qualified for the group stage, played those six matches, and then played two more knockout matches in the quarterfinals against, of course, a team like Lyon. And it's not just that Benfica have played 12 more matches either. Eight of those matches were against superior competition to anyone Sporting has played all season. Okay? Eight of those matches in the Champions League are better than any team in Portugal. There is no question about it. There is no small teams in the Women's Champions League. Only 16 teams get to the group stage. Benfica's among those 16, and only eight obviously get to the knockout stage. And Benfica, proudly part of that group as well, and justifiably so. They showed themselves well in those matches. They did well against Lyon in the knockout stage. But that's all a lot of miles, or a lot of kilometers. Sorry, I'll speak in kilometers for most of you that are listening from outside the United States. But it's a lot of work, and I think the manager has at times over-rotated the squad, in my opinion. But you still see the signs of wear, the signs of fatigue in this team. And a lot of the struggles right now are due to that, and it's a case where Benfica are just in a mode where they've got to hang on. Now they got a job to do. They got two matches left. They're better than the opponent in both of those matches, and hopefully their quality will see them through and allow them to play past the fatigue, allow them to play past the wear, and pick up these last two trophies, hopefully, to make this an unprecedented four-trophy season for this Benfica Feminino side, these Inspiradores, as I prefer to call them, because they inspire all of us. So, first half, though, Sporting probably were better. They were probably the better side in the first half. And again, I am impressed with how much they have improved and how much they have grown and how much of a formidable opponent they've become to us. It does help that we're, you know, we're much more fatigued and like I just said, played so many more matches. But this was a good spectacle. This was a good environment at the Restelo, and I think that this was a good example or a good display of what Portuguese women's league football is, what Liga BPI football is. These are the two best teams, and both of them will take part in next year's UEFA Women's Champions League. And I find it funny when commentators, this match aired on SEEK in Portugal. I watched it live on SEEK as well, thanks to my trusty VPN. I was able to log into a server in Portugal and then go to SEEKonline.com and watch the match there. It is very interesting. And I guess I got to talk about them before I get too far into it. I will talk about them in a second. But first, what I was going to say is it's funny when these commentators talk about Portugal getting a second Champions League spot next season and how that shows the growth of football in Portugal, women's football. And really, what it is it's the growth of Benfica that landed Sporting a spot. Well, I shouldn't say Sporting because the league is not over, but that landed, you know, two Portuguese spots next season. Now, the team that finishes second is going to have a much harder time getting to the group stage, okay, than the team that finishes first, because like in the men's, at least up until this upcoming season where there's a whole new format, the champion goes through the champion's path and plays only other champions and avoids the very difficult, you know, second and third places from tough leagues like the Spanish League, the WSL, the English League, the Italian League, the French League, you name it, okay? Portugal, obviously not one of those leagues. And to be second in Portugal and have to face the likes of a Manchester City that are going to qualify through the secondary means in the WSL, it's a whole different animal than taking on the champion of Cyprus and the champion of Slovenia or whatever in the preliminary stages. So very, very important for Benfica, obviously, to finish out and win the league this coming weekend. But I digress. Let's get back to this cup final here. Again, Sporting playing well, okay. moving the ball well, creating opportunities. Benfica kind of pushed back a little bit, but staying well organized. They're staying well organized. And again, when you have Elena Powell's in goal, who can direct traffic in front of her as well as make saves, and she's also an option for the ball at her feet, it helps with the situation, the spot where we're in right now. So we get to halftime, okay, and it is 0-0. And Kika does see a booking in the 45th minute plus one, I think, frustration foul as she cut down one of the Sporting players. I think it was Juana Martins she cut down after not being able to get on the end of a ball. But Benfica comes out of the halftime talk kind of calm. They come out prepared. And I think what happened is Sporting came out. I think Sporting knew and Mariana Cabral knew they had to get on Benfica early. Where they've had success is when they score early and then they stay organized and they make it hard for Benfica to score. Especially this season and especially in the 2024 portion of this season since the year has turned, as Benfica, you know, have found it harder to play. You can see it. The passes aren't as crisp. The movements aren't as quick. And the team's working hard. The players are working hard. They're trying to push through. But you can see that there's been a little bit of a level down in how quick and how sharp they can be with their movements or with their passes. But I think that as this match went on and as that adrenaline rush wore off for Sporting and they themselves started to settle into maybe a bit of a tired state, Benfica's quality was able to then start to take over. And we see Benfica start to take control of this one around the 60-minute mark. It's around the 60-minute mark where it looks like Sporting starts to gas out. And it looks like Sporting starts to run out of opportunities, starts to have fewer pushes forward, fewer chances. And that's when Benfica starts to really take over a bit here and starts to find players in good parts of the pitch, in opportune parts of the pitch. And Benfica then will start to take control. Like I said, they took control of the match. And we do go to the substitutes bench here. Let's take a look at the substitutes in this one. It's in that aforementioned 60th minute. I said that the Benfica started to take control. And a big reason for that was this substitution here at minute 60. On comes Catarina Amado. And I couldn't believe she's not a starter in this one. A little bit of a victim of the format. Now, she replaces Jessica Silva, who was not having a good match. Jessica Silva was having a hard time. She was being well-marked, not getting really any opportunities, not delivering good opportunities. And Jessica has a tendency, as much as I like her as a player, she has a tendency at times and at poor times to overdo the dribbling and start to dance with the ball a little too much and start to lose it. And I think she's looking for confidence when she does that. She's looking to beat a defender and to get an edge on a defender at some point. But in this one, she was up against Andrea Norheim of Sporting, and she was not getting by her all match. Okay, she just was not getting by her. And in the 60th minute, this decision was a good one from Philippa Paton because it moves Maria Lidou back to where she is, in my opinion, a better player, which is in the front three, not as a wingback. And Catarina goes into her natural position as a wingback, a right wingback. This is what made her Portugal's top choice at right wingback, okay? In fact, maybe not a right wingback because the Portugal manager decided to change the way the team plays so he could make room for Ana Borges in his lineup, and he moved Ana Borges to a right wingback position and plays Catarina Amado more as a right midfielder. But here in Benfica, this is where she plays her best, when the whole flank is hers and she can go up and down. And from this moment forward, Benfica are the better team. They are the team more on the front foot. They are the team more looking for the victory once Catarina Amado comes on. And again, you put Maria Lidou on her better position in the attack, and suddenly Benfica are looking like a different team. Now, both Ali Du and Amadou would switch sides with Lucy Alves and Kika intermittently throughout this match. It would happen a few times. And even before Amadou came in and it was Jessica and Ali Du, they would also do the same thing. So that's a tactical thing that Philippa's been doing, where the two outside players, whether it's the wing back and the forward, they will switch as a unit, you know, every 10 to 15 minutes, it seems like, and start to go down the other side. Try to play with the matchups a little bit. I kind of like it. Again, the team is tired. You have to be more creative. You can't just power through, especially against a talented team like Sporting and a team that knows Benfica so well. These two teams know each other so well. It is so hard to play these matches, and that's why Benfica have had a little bit harder of a time going of it this season. It's not just that Sporting have piece by piece, little by little, built a strong team here, but it's also because they know Benfica so well. Like I said, this was the sixth meeting between these two teams this season. And you know what? Next season, they're going to meet another six times, most likely. Okay? So these two teams know each other so well, and it makes the match so hard to play, and it makes it so hard to you know, find that winner. These matches are decided so much on the margins, okay? It's such a small margin that decides these matches. And, yeah, from there, Benfica are the better side, and Sporting start to be the team that's kind of trying to hold on a little bit. And Mariana's running out of ideas. I mean, she prepared the team well, and again, she made some substitutions of her own. We'll fast forward in a second to the 82nd minute because that's where things start to change. But again, Benfica starting to get opportunities, whether it's Kika, whether it's Ali Du, whether it's Nicole. Nicole had herself a tough match. And in my opinion, the injuries have somewhat caught up to Nicole. She's still very serviceable and very good and still our best number nine, probably, especially in a match like this where you're going to ask the number nine to hold the ball more and not necessarily to be in the box so much, because you're going to be under pressure and you're going to look for that target. And you need a number nine like Nicole in a match like this, who can keep her back to goal, who can drop into the midfield and be a target when balls are being cleared out of our defensive third, and then be able to hold that ball and wait for help to get there, and then to start, you know, building some possession and getting some territory and to move forward into Sporting's territory. You need her, but she's not you think back to when she first got to Benfica and when she was kind of an undisputed starter in the Brazil national team. Before the injuries started, I mean, she was just a monster. And while she's still very strong, we have not seen her. In my opinion, at least, I could be wrong, I could be off key here, but I think she has not quite gotten back to that level. And that's in part why we're not scoring as many goals, okay? We're not scoring as many goals this season. But she does a lot good here, but we can go to the 82nd minute, and here's a pair of substitutions from Benfica as well as one from Sporting, which tell you where this match is headed. Sporting sub first, they bring on Ana Capita here in the 82nd minute. A little surprising that she has played she hasn't played nearly as much since Brittany Raffino got to Sporting here in December. And Capita replaces the American, and again, she has kind of a hit. She did score a winner against us in one of the previous matches, I'm pretty sure. But, and we'll talk about that in the second segment, but she comes on here late. But if he can make two substitutions of their own, well done here, I think, by Philippa Patel. Again, it's not uncommon in the women's team and in women's football to not use all of your substitutions, okay? But Benfica sends on Chandra Davidson, again, the ex-Leoa. And, you know what's coming next, obviously, if you've been listening since the beginning, or if you have a social media account, you know what's coming next. She replaces Maria Lidu, and she goes up front, while the tactical switch here, and I think this was a useful, and I think in a way this was preparing for extra time. I think this substitution had more to do with preparing for extra time, because with 8 minutes left in regular time, Filipe Patón sends on Andrea Norton. Again, a very, very competent, very good international midfielder, okay, who has played less this season. One, because she came back with a knock from the World Cup, and two, because Andrea Faria said, you can't have my spot, basically. But Nicola Isla is the player that is coming off for Andrea Norton. So you're swapping on a mid for a striker. So you go into a 4-4-2 here, and I like this. I like this move to 4-4-2. It's going to strengthen the midfield here, and it's going to balance out the back line a little bit as we presumably were heading. You know, we knew there was a good chance here that we were headed to extra time. All right, so you take off Alidou, the winger, and you bring on a more truer striker in Chandra Davidson, while bringing off the true number nine in Nicole Raisla and replacing her with Andrea Norton. And now you have the three in the center of the park. You have the Andreas and Ana Gaspar, who drops in behind the two of them, playing more as a true six here. You still have Lucia Alves wide, and it becomes a fairly stronger team, I should say, at this stage in the game. And up front, you now have a pair rather than a trio, and you have Kika and Chandra playing up front. All right, so you know what's coming next. The only audio I could find was this off of I found audio on a one of those watch-alongs on a channel called Findero Sporting or something like that. And there was, maybe I'll play that for you as well, because it's kind of funny the way the air just comes out of the sails in his voice when this ball goes in. But this is, I believe, the call from SIC, okay? I found this on YouTube, but this is from SIC in Portugal. It's the television call. I am 99% certain that's where this came from. But here's the call of the goal. It is in Portuguese. I don't have any English commentary for this one. But here's what it sounded like on SIC in Portugal.
Bola para Kika Nazaré. A deixar para André Faria. Isolar Chandra Davidson. Pode ir para o golo. Remate e a defesa. Atenção, arca.
So Funk Mania loses the ball. This is what happened. She plays a bad ball. It ends up, it gets intercepted by Kika. Kika quickly plays a square ball. I should say she receives the ball, starts making her move forward, then plays it square to Andrea Faria. And I've talked about this player, and I'm going to keep talking about Andrea Faria. And Andrea Faria with one of the best diagonal driven low balls I have seen all season. She puts this thing on a platter for Chandra Davidson, who just entered the match. This is the 84th minute, 2 minutes after she comes off the bench. And she plays Chandra in on a breakaway. And Chandra, on the first attempt, she stopped by Hannah Siebert. A great save by the American goalkeeper, not going to lie. She comes out, she crosses she cuts the angle, makes herself big, and the first shot hits her, but the rebound falls right to Chandra, onto her left foot. She settles it, looks, sees the opening, and slots it calmly into the back of the goal, out of the reach of Andrea Norheim, who's trying to retreat and trying to keep it out. And the Restelo erupts. Benfica go ahead 1-0. I have to talk about the pass from Andrea Faria. That thing had flames on it. It was perfect. This girl has absolutely blown up as one of my favorite players and as one of the best key players in this Benfica side. And Francisco Neto, are you watching? This is your starting midfielder. This girl needs to play all the time on the national team. I'm talking about Andrea Faria. Okay, she has absolutely blown up. She has absolutely grown from, and I say this respectively, the little girl that started out 5 years ago, okay? You used to see a player here with talent who was good at passing the ball, was decent with the ball at her feet, but who was often intimidated by bigger, stronger players, who had a really hard time with contact, with 50-50s, you know, and going in. And a lot of times she got injured a lot. I mean, she got against stronger players and she would just end up down. And that's not the case anymore. This player has grown. This player has matured. And now she's as good of a 50-50 ball winner as anybody we have on this roster. And her confidence is sky high, and it shows here. She gets forward. She gets into the right spaces. She receives the ball well, and then she delivers it perfectly right on to the run of Chandra Davidson. And Chandra Davidson, in the end, finds the back of the net. 1-0. That is all Benfica was going to get out of this one, and that's all they needed. After that, there were cries for a penalty in the area of Sporting. I do have to talk about this quickly. Sorry, but again, this is what incidental contact is. Okay, both players running to the ball. Okay, there was a set piece on Benfica's left side of their defense. The ball was being whipped in by Sporting. I don't remember which player took the set piece. It might have been Ana Borges. I don't remember. But she's whipping it in. And there's a Sporting player. There's a Sporting player running at goal, and I don't remember which player it was, honestly. But she gets tangled up with. She gets tangled up with Benfica's Ana Saiza. It's Ana Saiza who gets tangled up with Olivia Smith. That's the Sporting player that the two of them get tangled up. And Olivia Smith does stay down, a little bit injured. And Sportingistas calling for a penalty. Now, I'm going to be honest. Benfiquistas, if it was the other way around, would be saying the same thing. In my unbiased analysis, I look at it, and both players are looking at the ball. The ball does not even come into play. The ball ends up in Lena Powell's hands, and this is beyond Lena Powell's. This is Lena Powell's wins this ball about halfway, I would say, halfway from her near post to the far post, about 5 yards outside the goal, and she ends up with the ball in her hands, probably somewhere near the far post, so a few meters to her right, behind her, really, because she's facing the ball, is where this entangle happens, and it didn't affect the play. It was not intentional. You could see that there was no intent there. My understanding, this was correctly not called a penalty, and the VAR did look at it. Mariana Cabral, of course, cue Mariana Cabral's booking, because she can't go through one of these matches. Even when they win, she's got to get booked. So, you know, when she thinks she's being wronged, she's going to say something. And it was funny because the TV commentator believed that the referee was headed for the monitor to analyze, to view the video. No, the referee was headed to the bench to book Mariana Cabral, as is custom in these matches. She was not happy. We see Sporting make two substitutions here. Mayara Niehaus comes on for Joana Martins, and Alicia Correa comes on for Fatima Dutra. Now, losing 1-0, when you bring on a back for an attacking player or a winger, that's not usually a tactical move. I think Fatima could not go any longer, and that's why that is why Alicia Correa came on. And when I've broken down other Sporting Benfica or Benfica Sporting matches in women's football, I have always picked on Alicia Correa, and I have said every time we attack at her, we get goals. And I think Mariana Cabral must be a listener of this podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But she's also seen that, because she left Alicia Correa on the bench for this one, but then brings her on. And in the end, though, Sporting unable to get a real opportunity other than the shouts for a penalty. And the referee, Sara Alves, blows her whistle for full time. It would take a while. It wouldn't be until 90 plus 10. So this match going over the 100-minute mark, but at 90 plus 10, Sara Alves blows her whistle three times for full time. Benfica win the Women's League Cup for the fourth time in the history of this tournament, fourth in five editions. and Benfica continues their dominance in this competition, and it was a well-deserved win. Listen, either team winning would have been well-deserved in this match. It was a good match. These matches become, again, like I said, between fewer and fewer margins separating the two teams. And it obviously helps Sporting that Benfica's played, you know, I don't know how many extra minutes, easily 1,000 minutes more than they have this season. Doing the math, 12 times 90, if every match were 90, you know, you're looking at 1,000, if my math is right, 1,080 minutes longer, if doing math in the top of my head is correct, 1,080 minutes longer of play this season for Benfica. But a well-deserved win and another trophy for the museum, Cosme Damião. Now, I would love to play some post-game audio for you, but Seek, in all their wisdom, cut right to the news. They cut right to the news here. And then didn't cut back during the news to show Benfica celebrations, to interview the managers, to interview the players. None of that. I have none of that audio for you, unfortunately. All I got to see was a Twitter and Instagram cell phone video of Silvia Rebelo raising the trophy for Benfica, which reminded me that Silvia Rebelo is still the captain of this team. She has not played many, if any, minutes this season, but she is still the captain. Her and Paulita, I guess the two co-captains, as they were the two to lift the trophy. Big win, like I said, and hopefully giving Benfica some juice, some fire for the upcoming matches that we have left this season. Two of them to go, two finals to play, one for the league, one for the cup. Great, great performance, and I know that segment went a bit longer than I wanted, but I'll quickly break down this past weekend. Okay, Benfica versus Valadares Gaia. They make the trip all the way up to Gaia for this one. And this is the Liga BPI round 21. And in conditions that never should have been played in, to be perfectly honest with you, this match should have never been finished, at least. At the beginning, you could already start to see puddles at the beginning of the match. So, I mean, I could see why they tried to get it in. It's a long trip. There was a good crowd there, mostly of Benfiquistas. But again, this is Canalones, and the way that they are putting the matches up on the app, driving me crazy. No commentary. I get to hear the conversations of the people that are sitting near the camera or the microphone, the shotgun mic. And the conversations are cringy, to say the least. But here's the 11 for Benfica. I'll just run that down for you real quick here. Lena Powells is in goal. The back three for this one, Laís Araújo, Carol Costa, and Ana Saissa. More regular back three. Like I said, sometimes you get Cristy Uchebe, sometimes you get Laís Araújo, or sometimes you get Cristy and Laís, and sometimes Ana Saissa is out. But those are the three for this one. Catarina Madu gets the start at the right wing back in place of Maria Lidu, at least in relation to the Sporting match. Lucy Alves keeps her spot as the left wing back. And in the double pivot in the middle of the midfield, Andrea Faria, after being named the MVP of the League Cup final, keeps her spot. And she partners with Andrea Norton for this one. So you have the Andreas in the midfield as... Actually, Andrea Faria played more as a right forward in this one, because Ana Gaspar teamed with Andrea Norton. And Andrea Faria joined the attack in this one with Kika on the left and Chandra Davidson, after scoring the winner on Wednesday, gets the start in this one over Nicole Reisla. And those were the 11 chosen by Felipe Patão. Again, watching this with no commentary is absolutely brutal, and I know you guys, you can fill up my invoice and my inbox, excuse me, and tell me to get an IPTV. I get it, but again, I'm not near my TV. I can't. Very rare do I get to sit and watch a game on my TV. If I'm watching football, I'm usually in my office on a laptop. I need an IPTV that works on my iPad or on a phone in order for me to actually use it. And so far, everything I have looked into requires me getting a box and plugging it into my TV, and that just doesn't work for me, nor do I fully like paying in Bitcoin or paying in PayPal to somebody somewhere, who knows where. And I guess that's some of my apprehension. And then when it doesn't work, I don't know who am I going to go and get to fix it and whatnot. And I can't spend hours on the phone or on a web chat trying to get something fixed. So really frustrated with the current state of streaming from Portuguese football right now between BTV and Canal 11, both going down the tubes in my opinion, as far as accessibility from here in North America. But that is what it is. You're not listening to this to listen to me complain about that. Those were the 11 that were selected. Now this match, like I said, should have been abandoned shortly after halftime. All right, and that's not because Chandra Davidson scores in the 44th minute, which, you know, it's not me saying, oh, we had already scored, right? No. This, I would have even lived with, I think that the second half should have been played like the next day or something, because this pitch got so waterlogged. This was an artificial pitch, okay, an artificial pitch. This was not grass, this was plastic. The water was sitting on top of it. By the second half, the ball was not rolling in several locations on this pitch. And I'm sure you've seen the footage by now if you're on social media, because Sporting fans are putting it everywhere. Yes, the waterlogged pitch saved Benfica. I said this in a tweet that I put out, that yes, it appeared like I believe it was Izzy Glennon who put the ball on goal, and it appeared like her shot was going in, and the ball died in a puddle short of the goal line and then was cleared by Carol Costa. Now, appeared. I don't have the 100% certainty that was going in. We don't have a good enough camera angle to confirm that. And even if it was, the whole thing, that ball only became available to her because of the waterlogged pitch. Somebody made a pass back to Lena Powell's. And again, this is on the players. They need to recognize sometimes when the conditions don't allow to make certain plays. I think it was Laish Araújo. It was Laish who played it back. And this isn't the first time she's done this. Christy Uchebe's done this a few times too, where they've played it back to the goalkeeper, not put enough muscle on it. The ball dies, does not make it to Lena Powell's. Lena has to come off her line to try to win this one. She gets there first, but is forced to, in her attempt to just clear it, she clears it right off of, I believe it was Izzy Glennon, the American striker for Valladares Gaia. And the ball pops up and comes right back to Izzy Glennon on her foot. And Lena's trying to get back on goal, but there is nothing that in normal circumstances here that would allow her to catch up to it. The ball is played carefully towards the goal line. Looks like it's going to go in. Dies in a puddle at the mouth of the goal area, in the mouth of the small box. And then Carol Costa arrives to clear it. Now, again, yes, those conditions led to that ball not going in, if it was, in fact, online to go in. But those conditions also led to that play even happening in the first place. And those conditions also led to this match only being 1-0. Let's be fair. Yes, I will give you that ball was going in. No question about it. But let's not ignore the other 89 minutes of the match where Benfica were unable to really get anything going. Silver Eagle said to me on Twitter, she said, yeah, the conditions don't favor us. That's why the Federation wanted to play this match. She said and she said to me before that the Federation is very much trying to elevate Sporting and trying to help them. And it's hard to argue with her because she makes valid points. And in the circumstances, the Federation leaves themselves open up to these criticisms. There is no reason this match should have even kicked off at the start of the second half. There was already visible puddles all over the pitch at the start of the second half. The referee decided to go forward with the match. Nobody from the league stopped her. So they played it out. This one finishes 1-0 on a waterlogged pitch, and again, I mean, the ball wasn't even rolling in a lot of spaces. But Benfica get the job done. They get what they needed. They needed the 3 points to go into this coming weekend in first place still. Now, Benfica at one point were way ahead in this league. It's true. And by way of losing both matches to Sporting in the league, both of them by 3-1 scores, Benfica are in a tough spot here where they're only 2 points ahead of Sporting going into the final match. And if Benfica do not win on a Saturday at home to Racing Power FC, a strong Racing Power FC, and Sporting go and beat the Mayans in the Maya, then you know what? Sporting are going to be champions. Sporting are going to be champions, and it's going to be because of those two derbies that we lost in the league. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't want to hear if that happens that, oh, we're tired. Oh, no, we didn't take care of business against Sporting. You know, I gave you the explanation why it's hard. Yes, it's hard, but you have an opponent at your doorstep here in front of you by the name of Racing Power FC, who, yes, deserves respect and, yes, is a good team, but Benfica should win this game, especially at Seychelles. It's too bad this match is not being played at the Luge. It should be at the Luge. I don't care if the men have a game at this point. The men have nothing left to play for. Play it as a doubleheader. Who cares? Think outside the box for once. Somebody at this club, somebody in promotions and marketing, think outside the box for once. Play the men's game, because I understand the league rules and the pitch has to be pristine for them first. I get it. Play their game early. Okay, talk to your league, your Benfica. Okay, talk to the two leagues. Let's find an agreement. I know that Liga BPI, this is the final day, so Sporting and Benfica have to play at the same time. We're playing on Saturday instead of Sunday. I don't know why. There's no reason that I know of. This match should be. There's no reason the men can't play Saturday and the girls play Sunday, or even better, put the men early in the day and the women after. And you know what? You'll break the attendance record for the Liga BPI that way. It's not that hard of a thing to do, and then the girls get to play in front of a full stadium to try to win this league title. Instead, they're going to be at the training pitch trying to win the title. But they have to put that out of their minds. They have to focus at the job that is on hand. This team has been incredibly professional since day one, despite their salaries, despite their conditions, despite that they have many times had to go train who knows where, okay? And they've had to play home games in several different locations. Okay, they've always gotten their business done. And this Saturday at Seychelles, they need to get a victory. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to look good. It doesn't have to be 5-0. They just have to get 3 points like they did this past Sunday. So that's where the team stands right now. What's gone on in the past couple weeks, you want to know? Well, I'm going to take a quick break here, and then I'm going to recap the last couple of weeks that led us to where we are right now, heading in to this weekend's decision day. This is Mr. Benfica. I'm the Mr. Mike Agostinho, and if you haven't yet, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Mike Agostinho. That's at MikeAgostinho, and I will be right back with more here on episode 186 of Mr. Benfica, Case of the X. Chandra Davidson, represent.
While we playing a part of the coolest vision. Ain't a high school movie, had a brace like Tootie when the news hit him. Only if you will listen, cause there ain't nothing new about the facts of life, dudes. So why don't you sit calm if the shoe fits on?
Why don't you kick some of that good shit that you spit? Amusement fun. They get you sick for two spins at music 101. They get spun in the club all done unless I go numb. Make my flow dumb. Go write a hit song called Fight or Run. So many idols come, so many idols go. But in the end, man, I don't know.
Yeah. And welcome back to Mr. Benfica, episode 186 here on the PTB Media Network. We now are going to go back in time a little bit here after the break and catch you up on everything that has been going down for the women's football team that got us to this point that we spent the first hour or so of this episode talking about. I'm going to start off in February because I did not have any episodes. The last time I did an episode covering Benfica's women's team, I believe, was the 4-4 draw on January the 31st with Barcelona, which landed Benfica in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Women's Champions League. In February, only two matches in the league were played due to an international break. So on February the 4th, Benfica went to Madeira and won 1-0 over Marítimo. The goal of that day was scored by Nicole Raísla. 3 days later, Benfica returned home to face Torreense in another Liga BPI matchup and winning 3-0. Goals from Andrea Faria, Marie Alidou, and Pauleta. Yes, the return of Pauleta happened here at this point. And after such a long layoff with a cruciate ligament injury, she started returning to the pitch little by little and even gets herself a goal on her return here against Torreense. On February the 14th, the Portuguese Cup. Okay, the Portuguese Cup, I believe this was a semifinal. No, this was a quarterfinal. It says here. Taça de Portugal Feminina is what it says, and I think this ended in a tie, so this can't be right according to SofaScore. It's possible that this was the League Cup, perhaps. I'm going to take a quick... Well, perhaps, no, it was the Portuguese Cup. Benfica drew 2-2 with Valadares Gaia in this match. The goals here were scored by Lucia Alves in the 90th plus 3. And by Lara Martins in the 6th minute. So Valadares Gaia took the lead 5 minutes into the match. This was up there, same place where we had trouble winning this weekend. Ana Barbaj scores for Valadares Gaia in the 5th minute. Lara Martins equalizes a minute later. 45 plus 3, a Lucia Alves own goal puts Valadares Gaia in front, and then it is Lucia Alves making up for it in stoppage time and getting back and getting the point. This one appears to have finished 2-2, and I really think this was the League Cup because they played two legs in this was the League Cup semifinal. I don't know why SofaScore has it down as the Portuguese Cup, but that was on February the 14th. February the 18th, Benfica at home win 6-1 over Oriense. Athletic Oriense in the Liga BPI. And the goals on that day were scored by Andrea Falcón, Carol Costa, Paige Almarandiriz gets on the score sheet in this one. Two more for Andrea Falcón to make it a hat trick, and then Daniela Silva with the 6th. Some time later, we move to March now. From the 18th of February to the 3rd of March, Benfica travel to Clube Albergaria and win 6-0 on the road there in round 15. Chandra Davidson, this was her first goal in a Benfica kit. She scored here in the 8th minute. Then in the 34th, Carol Costa made it 2-0. Kika gets on the score sheet, and I think if I'm not mistaken, this is where Kika is starting to come back from injury. She scores in the 45th minute. Lucia Alves in the 45th plus 2. Chandra Davidson adds to her tally in the 67th to make it 5-0. And Carol Costa adds to her tally in the 90th plus 6. Benfica wins 6-0 at Albergaria. And then on March the 10th, at home to Famalicão, 3 massive points. 2-0 win over Famalicão. Goals from Carol Costa and Ana Saissa, the 2 central defenders scoring the goals. And there you see where what's been tough for this team this year. The goals are not coming so much from the forwards in some of these close matchups. 5 days later, the 15th of March, and this is when the wear was starting to show a little bit. Plus, Benfica had one eye on Leon, no doubt about it, because the Leon quarterfinal was just 4 days away, and Benfica surprised, and they are upset in a way. It's a 1-1 draw on the road at the Mayans. The goal was for the Mayans was scored by our former midfielder, Beatriz Cameirão. And in the second half, Ana Saiza sent packing in the 68th minute, straight red card. But in the 70th, Kika would pull a level and rescue a point. And right now, every single point has proven to be crucial for us as we come down here to the end. But that brings us to the UEFA Women's Champions League quarterfinals. And you should be hearing the music right about now. March the 19th, Stadio de Luz, Benfica versus Leon. Let's take a look at the lineups here. We'll start with powerful, one of the favorites to win this competition. Leon, the team with the most UEFA Women's Champions League titles in history. And their manager of Portuguese descent, their coach, is Sonia Bompastor. And she talked to the press before the match and in the lead-up about how her whole family is Benfiquista, and she says they'll be rooting for Benfica and not for her in this one. Sonia Bompastor, of course, a long-time coach here in French football, French-born and raised, but of Portuguese descent and clearly of Benfiquista descent. She sets out her goal. She's playing in a 4-2-3-1. Her goalkeeper is Christiane Endler. Her back four, Ellie Carpenter is the right back. Vanessa Gillies and Grage Mbok-Bathy are the pair in the center of defense. Well, Selma Basha starts at left back. Double pivot in midfield, Sarah DeBritz partnering with the American Lindsay Horan. I'm going to talk about Lindsay Horan in just a minute. I was really, really impressed with her in these two matches. But ahead of them is the attacking midfield three with Diani on the left, Marjorie in the center, and Delphine Cascarino down to the right. Cascarino had herself a fantastic tie as well. She was quite good in these matches. And the striker is Eugenie Le Sommer. And I think it's Eugenie is actually how you say it. Le Sommer. All right, that is Leon's lineup for Benfica, playing in their typical 3-5-2. Philippe Patel sends out Lena Powells, of course, in goal. The back three is what to be expected. Laís Araújo, Carol Costa, and Christy Uchebe going with the more experienced back three. Lucy Alves and Andrea Falcón get the start at wingbacks in this particular match, while the double pivot is, of course, Ana Gaspar and Andrea Faria. Kika playing in a true number 10 role with Marie Alidou to her attacking right or starting as the right-sided forward, while Nicole Raisla started on the left. And I think Nicole Raisla would find herself injured in this match, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, she was subbed off in the 16th minute, replaced by Chandra Davidson. And Benfica came out on fire in this match. They came out believing. 19,700. Let me give you the exact number. 19,736 in attendance at the Stadio de Luz. My opinion should have been better than that. I don't care that it was a Tuesday night, I believe, or it was a Wednesday night. It was a Tuesday night, Tuesday, March the 19th. I don't care that it's a weeknight. That's no excuse. There's people with that old story of, my father has always wanted to go to Stadio de Luz, and now we can't get tickets to give him his one wish. Here was your opportunity. Here was your bucket list item. Here was a chance to bring your entire family to the Stadio de Luz for virtually no price, okay? I mean, there's parts of this fan base that complain and cry about the price of tickets, and then when you have a good deal and it's in front of you, you don't take it up. What, because it's the women's team and not the men's? That's weak. That is weak, and there should have been easily 30,000 or more in the stadium for this match. But the 19,736 that were there were real, and they were behind the team, and they gave a huge boost. And even though Benfica were clearly not, you know, not the better team in this match or in these two matches. Clearly, they were a little bit overmatched, but they really, really held their own here and created a lot of their own chances. Andrea Falcone hits the post in the first half, and then just before halftime.
Here it comes.
Have a listen.
That's a bit loose. Oh, and they're in real trouble here. It's a fantastic opportunity. Faria is clean through and scores. What about this for Benfica? They lead against the all-time record winners of this competition. Andrea Faria clean through on goal. But in truth, her side only have themselves to blame. What a story we have here. It's her first ever Champions League goal. And what a time for it to come. Sensed the opportunity, didn't she? Took it away from Mbok and then is clean through. But can she beat one of the world's best goalkeepers? Yes, she can.
Who else but Andrea Faria? She gets into space. The ball gets won in midfield by Ana Gaspar. It finds its way to Kika. Kika finds the opening. There is a gap down the center of Leon's defense. And Andrea gets on the run, and Kika times the pass perfectly. Andrea in behind, and she manages to hold off the chasing defenders. Andrea gets herself in perfect position, and when they show the replay in slow motion, you can see her breaking into space, and you see her with the, turning her head, doing a little head check, figuring out where the defender's coming from, where the pressure's coming from, and move herself in front of that pressure to keep that ball in front of her and to keep that ball protected. And then she gets one-on-one with the goalie, looks up, spots the low post, and just slots it easily. Nice. Past the goalkeeper into the lower right hand corner to the goalkeeper's right, and she puts it in, and Benfica take the lead. The luge erupts. Benfica take the lead right before halftime, and you start wondering, can we do this? Is this really going to happen? Benfica go into the second half with all kinds of hope and all kinds of belief, and they play so well. This was. Maybe even better than the Barcelona game. And I mean, this team has given us matches this season that are epic. They have given us performances we should remember for a long, long time against much, much stronger opponents who overmatched them in every way or should have. And somehow, you know, they exemplify everything it is to be Benfica. It's all in this team. If you're not getting your fill from the men's team, this team has it all. If you're not watching the women's team yet, what are you waiting for? This team represents this club so well. They fight so hard. They honor this badge so well. Unfortunately, though, reality does set in here a little bit as, you know, perhaps the most expensive roster in women's world football finds its way in the 63rd minute. It is Delphine Cascarino who scores and levels for Olympic Lyon. And at that point, it was a matter of trying to hold on, trying to get stuck in, block the passing lines, take away the shooting lanes. And Benfica did so many things so well. But in the 79th minute, unfortunately, after a brilliant, and I mean a brilliant, ball being played in by the American Lindsay Horan, she puts this ball perfectly on Sarah DeBritz's head, and Sarah DeBritz heads it to the far post, and it's just outside of the reach of Lena Powell's, and it just gets in there, and Leon take the lead. They had thought they'd taken the lead a few minutes earlier, but an offside ruled Leon's player. You know, a referee's flag and then VAR confirmation ruled Leon's player offside, taking that goal off the board. But on this one, there was nothing to call back. Perfectly clean goal. Leon took the lead. Leon won this match 2-1. So we go to the second leg with the same 2-1 deficit, obviously, as it was in the first game. Benfica, in between the two matches with Leon, though, had a massive, massive Liga BPI match at home against Sporting Braga. This was had everything written on it to go wrong, sandwiched right between these two massive Champions League matches. But Benfica showed up in this one. Benfica did work. Benfica with a very professional performance. Despite falling behind again, this team has fallen behind a few times. Braga took the lead thanks to the Brazilian Vitória Almeida in the 11th minute, but it took only 8 minutes from there. And talk about player of the week, homegirl Andrea Faria with the equalizer in the 19th minute. This is just a few nights after that big goal against Leon. And then it stays 1-1 until the closing moments. And Marie Alidou in the 83rd minute puts Benfica ahead. And a sigh of relief, because if not for going ahead in this one, we would be behind Sporting right now. Kika would add two goals of her own, and this one would finish 4-1 to Benfica. Three huge points, especially now knowing what we know here on just on the eve of the close of the season. Benfica then traveled to Lyon for the second leg, okay? And while it was already quite improbable, it started out as worst as you could have imagined. But let's look at the lineups first, okay? So same 4-2-3-1 for Leon. Endler in goal. Carpenter, Gillies, Bathy, and Bacha. No changes across the back. Lindsay Horan and Sarah DeBritz in the double pivot. No changes. Now we have one change here as Danielle Van de Donk, comes in to the midfield. She plays in the number 10 position. She has Diani to her right and Cascarino to her left behind Le Sommer. For Benfica, they come out in a 3-4-1-2. Slight change here. I shouldn't say slight change, because this is their Champions League formation versus their Liga BPI formation. No changes across the back. One change in the midfield. The double pivot is the same. It's Faria and Gaspar. Lucia Alves once again starting as the wingback. But on the left side, it is Katarina Madu who gets the start in this one. And Kika playing in the number 10 position with Alidou and Chandra Davidson in front. This one didn't start as well as the other one did, of course. Leon would take the lead here just before halftime. It's the inverse of what happened at the Luge. And it is Cascarino scoring in the 43rd minute. But Benfica answer before halftime still. Benfica pull level thanks to Marie Alidou. And you know what? I have this one. Why don't we take a listen? Here it is.
Oh, lovely ball and they're in behind. And Alidou! Benfica on terms on the night. And it's their top scorer in the Champions League this season. He's turned that over the line. And what a reaction this has been from the Portuguese champions.
That's what it sounded like. Thank you to DAZN Sports for that audio. And Benfica level going into halftime. Marie Alidou, you heard him say there, Benfica's top scorer in the UEFA Women's Champions League. And at that point, again, Leon knew they had some work to do when they would come out of the locker room for the second half. And again, Benfica up to the task, of course. Benfica did so well to represent so well in this tie. But this is where it starts to get away from him. This is where I really think that as these matches wear on, Benfica wear out a little bit. And I think this is where let's be honest, the very weak nature of our league comes back to hurt us a little bit. We don't play enough tough games. So when the game gets tough, it can get really tough for us. And at least we play Sporting six times this season. I can't imagine if we hadn't, plus Sporting, play those matches with Sporting, I think actually really got us up to the level to be able to compete with the Leons. But this match is going to start to get away. And Leon would pull ahead in the 51st minute. It wouldn't take too long. And it was a legitimate rocket into the lower left-hand corner. that was put there by Cascarino. Lena Powells did everything right. She reacted. Her form was great, but she just could not stop it. It was too fast and too, it was on too much of a burn, if you will. That ball had no spin, and it was maybe, you know, it was maybe 6 inches off of the ground, no more than that, and it was just sliding and gliding in the air, and she just couldn't get her hand to it. And Leon retake the lead there in the 51st minute. And it would stay even. Benfica would try to find their way. Now, this would have made, this made the aggregate at this point, it made it 4-2 at this point. So Benfica already were in pretty deep. They needed two goals just to force extra time. But I think they were also playing to try to leave Leon with a draw and to say they got a result on the road at one of the best teams in the world. And here's a spoiler alert. This Leon team will be in the Women's Champions League final against Barcelona later this month, like I said. And again, Benfica played both of those teams this year, and we played both of them in previous years and have not stood with them in previous years. This year, it was much, much different. And Benfica would hang into it until we got to stoppage time, and at stoppage time, the wheels kind of come off the wagon a little bit, and this becomes a much harsher result than it should have been or than it deserved to be. Benfica were fantastic, but in the 90th plus one, Grege Mbok would make it 3-1, and at that point, it was all said and done. But even trying to rescue a draw here in this one was gonna get away from us. And then 90th plus six, Katarina Amadou helps him out with an unfortunate own goal to make it a very unjust 4-1. But that's how this one finished. But again, the international press, the French press, the French manager, everyone had praise for Benfica for their performance in these two matches. And I think Benfica showed this is where we belong. With this type of investment, with this type of team, this didn't happen overnight. And this didn't happen, and I mean, I don't want to get into talking about the men's team right now, but this is what supporters don't get. Benfica got to this point with this team, this women's team, not by firing managers, not by sacking managers, not by, you know, going out to the transfer market and getting the best. That's not an option here. Benfica got here by building a strong unit and building it, adding on to it then piece by piece. So when they went to the market, they went and got pieces, and they didn't try to just rebuild a team from scratch every time things didn't go, you know, according to plan. A large part of this core was on this team 2 seasons ago when Olympique Lyon put, I forget how many goals on us, eight maybe, in a group stage match. The majority of this team was here, okay? And the ones that weren't, to be honest, they came from smaller teams. So Benfica has also been very good at getting top players from smaller teams and getting players that were already in Portugal. When you look at this team, okay, you look at it, you got Benfica got way back in the day Carol Costa from Sporting when she joined in, I think, the second year of the team's existence. Laís Araújo came from Famalicão. Lúcia Alves came from Valadares. Gaia Andrea Faria came from Vila Verdense way back. And we're fortunate she decided to attend university in Lisbon at the Catholic University, which she's already finished her master's this year. That's the main reason she ended up at Benfica. It wasn't so much a scouting thing. She was still a youth player, but when she went to school and she went to Lisbon to go to school, she left Vila Verdense and joined, I believe it was Vila Verdense, and joined Benfica, okay? Ana Gaspar we picked up overseas. Katarina Madu came from, she came from, I believe, Real Massama. I don't know. We picked her up at it from another Portuguese team, again, also as a youth player, and brought her through. Kika Nazaré has been ours since day one. Chandra Davidson came from Sporting. Maria Lidu came from Famalicão. This is a team that was almost completely built within our Portuguese league, okay? It wasn't done by going out there and getting, quote-unquote, jogadores a Benfica. Or it was done with good planning, long-term planning, sticking with the same manager despite outcries. And again, I'm going to be careful here, okay? But this is why I'm not for becoming a graveyard of managers, okay? She's been here through some bad times, and there's been people that have wanted her out, but she stuck through it. Look at the roster. Yes, we have for our league, this is a great roster. But to play in the Champions League, there's almost no Champions League experience in this team at all. At all. And yet, we put on a campaign like this because, you know why? Because every time Benfica's there, they're that bit more comfortable. So the ones that were there before come in comfortable, and the newer players come in, and they don't panic. And there's just a sense where they know they belong, I believe. They really know they belong there, and they leave it all out there. And they just absolutely, you know, honor the jersey every time they take the pitch. This one felt heavier than it should have, of course. But, again, Benfica did themselves and did the fan base proud in this tie. And they can leave Europe with their heads held high. All right. After that, it was a Clásico. It was the Portuguese League Cup, okay? Sorry, Portuguese Cup semifinal, okay? It was the Portuguese Cup semifinal first leg. Benfica versus Sporting, and Benfica would win this one 1-0, okay? And that would put them in the cup final. That would take them to the second leg. This was the first leg. So in between these two legs of the Portuguese Cup semifinals between Sporting and Benfica, we have a league match between Sporting and Benfica. So on March the 31st, Benfica beat Sporting 1-0. On April the 14th, after an international break, Sporting would beat Benfica 3-1 in Alcochete, and suddenly Sporting has swept the season series in the league with Benfica, meaning they now have the tiebreaker if this season, if the table ends with Sporting and Benfica level on points. Sporting and not Benfica will be the champion. This puts us in a very scary predicament for this coming weekend. But Benfica shakes it off at that point, and they travel to Alcochete again on April the 21st, a week later. And they play this one, another semifinal second leg for the Portuguese Cup. And in this one, Benfica get the result they need after having won the first leg 1-0. They do take the lead thanks to Jessica Silva in the 14th minute. However, the Canadian Olivia Smith scores for Sporting before or just after halftime in the 49th minute, making this a nervy, nervy one all the way to the end. But in the end, and would win this tie 2-1 on aggregate and book their ticket to the Jamor for the Portuguese Cup final against Racing Power FC. Coming off of that draw, Benfica returned to league action on the 27th of April. And they go up north to face Lanque Vila Verdense, the struggling side from the Minho district, the Minho province, excuse me. And Benfica take care of business quite easily up there. It's a 4-0 win for Benfica with two goals from Kike Nazaré, one in the 11th, another in the 41st. Ana Saiso would score in the 64th, and then Carol Costa would score in the 90th, plus four. This one finishes 4-0, like I said, and three more points to Benfica, getting very, very close to the title. And that took us to the two matches now that we just wrapped in the beginning of this episode in the first segment. Benfica winning, of course, the Portuguese League Cup final, as we said, in front of just under 10,000. And in front, I didn't mention, in front of 1.8 million people on television on SEEK in Portugal. again, it's a pity that SEEK didn't cover the trophy presentation. I think this game, this competition, and both of these teams deserve better. And then we have this past weekend's 1-0 win in a monsoon at Valadares Gaia. Now we play Racing Power FC this coming Saturday. It appears that it is a 2 p.m. Portuguese time kickoff from Seychelles. It's actually a Seychelles derby, as Racing Power FC also play their home matches in the town of Seychelles. At least this season they have. And listen, the last time these two teams met, it was a 1-1 draw in January. So it can get very, very scary if Benfica don't get out in front early in this match. Sporting will be away to Damaiense. Damaiense played us tough, took a point off us. Maybe they can return the favor this weekend for us. Have to wait and see. This one could be very nervy all the way to the final whistle. But this team deserves to win this league title. And hopefully they see it out this Saturday. So hope everyone enjoyed this episode. That's really all I've got for this one. I ran a little bit long, I know. But that's it. I will be back on this feed very, very soon in the... At some point, I have to talk about the men's team right now. I'm just kidding. I will be talking about them, recording that probably on Wednesday. I'll record a recap of both the Braga match and the Famalicão match. And we'll go from there when that time comes. All right, there's also some more new content dropping on this feed. You can see the feed is now the Parking the Bus network feed. But Mr. Benfica stays the same, so please stay subscribed, and there'll be more Mr. Benfica coming your way very, very soon. Thanks for listening. This is the Mr. Mike Agostinho. I'm signing off, and because of Sandra Davidson making me name this episode Case of the X, what more fitting way to leave you this episode than taking you back to 1999 and letting Maya send you home with her hit Case of the X. I'll talk to you next time, guys. Carrega Benfica, força e vivo o Benfica.
It's after midnight and she's on your phone. They ain't come over cause she's all alone. I could tell it was your ex by your tongue. Why is she calling now after so long? Now what is it that she wants? Tell me what is it that she needs? Did she hear about the